Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Well, it's another fantastic round of WNBL and NBL, and we're going to get straight into it, Boddy. The WNBL finals have started, and it's been brilliant. The Capitals, as we thought, beat the Boomers 84-70, and in a beautiful game, the Flyers, my girls, 68, beat the Botty Nodge Lightning 65.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, this, what I find interesting about these two games is that the Canberra-Melbourne game was a very, very tight game, and yet the final margin's 14 points. It looks like a blowout. Southside-Adelaide is a 68-65 three-point game, and Southside was in control of that game from the moment it had a 22-7 third quarter. They were in control of that game. So that was actually the final scores of both games were a bit deceiving as to what actually played out. But they were great games. Did you have any highlights yourself, Brad, from those two games?
Well, I can't go past Kia Nurse's three threes that she hit in the third quarter. Now, if I'm right, and they were down by seven. They went on an 11-0 run, which obviously then put them up, and the game was there. She finished with 25 points, played all games as well, like all minutes of the game. She was brilliant for them.
Yep, she was justified and just showed why she was the MVP of the league this year. Second year in a row, Canberra supplied the MVP with Kelsey Griffin in 2019. My highlight was actually also from that game. Actually, probably was a better game than last night's Southside Adelaide one. I just thought Olivia Apupa, the French guard that is running the Canberra Capitals on the floor, she was magnificent. How she gets the amount of rebounds she gets, she averages around about 8 rebounds a game.
And unbelievable.
She's yeah, smallest
32
girl.
Minutes, yep. 19, 6, and 10.
Yeah, there you go.
That's brilliant stats.
Yep. Yeah, and steals and just good decisions, the right decision at the right time. In the last quarter, you know, the start of the last quarter, she and Maddie Rocci got them going. And I just thought she was phenomenal. It's just great to see players of that caliber in our league.
Well, let's stay on the WNBL. We're here. Can the Boomers make this go three?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Like I said, that's a bit deceiving, that final scoreline. That was closer than what it looked. Though I do think Kelsey Griffin needed that run. She had a bit of basketball rust, I felt. I thought she missed a few shots in and around the basket that normally are solid gold. So I think she'll be better. So it'll take some doing for Melbourne to force it to three, to be honest. But I think they can.
Yeah, I don't think they will. But you are right. They can, but yeah. I don't think they will. I think the Botty Nodge Lightning will send it to three, though.
Yeah, because I thought tonight their first half was exemplary, and then in the second half, Southside just took everything away from them that they wanted, and they went very passive. Nicole Seacamp played. She definitely showed that she'd only trained for 6 minutes in the last 2.5 weeks since she badly sprained her ankle. Yeah.
2 of 13 from the field, 29 minutes. She looked like she was, I don't want to say struggling, but you know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah, she had some great moments, but they were few and far between. And there was a couple of decisions that she made when she's going to the hoop. She should have laid it up, tried to make a pass, made a turnover. She just wasn't herself. She'll be better, hopefully.
That's what I'm basing it on. I mean, they shot 4 of 18 from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, like the rebounding was the same. The assist was very similar. They had 13 turnovers, was pretty high. But all in all, I didn't think Adelaide were awful. I do agree that they didn't play. I love their coaching staff. I think they'll make enough changes to get the win and take this into a third where my girls will come home flying.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think the biggest thing for Southside was Mercedes Russell with a 20.19 rebound double.
Yeah,
she was just awesome, and a lot of stuff came off offensive rebounds. Now, I know the rebounding count was 46-47, so very little between them. And Adelaide got 15 offensive rebounds, I think, and Southside 16. It's just that the 16 that Southside got, I think they scored 32 points inside the keyway. I mean, obviously some of those are drives, etc., but a lot of that was putback stuff. And I think that's an area Adelaide really has to address, or that one won't go three.
Yeah, my ex-coach, God bless him, Cliff Martin, you probably remember him, won a championship with Hobart. sorry, Launceston it was,
yes, yes, it
for
was.
The NBL. And he was my coach, the hardest coach I've ever had. He never let us drink water at training. Never. In the times that I've played. Actually, I've got to tell you a little story. It's quite funny, right? So we're at training one time. And do you remember Dom Bickett, the killer three bees? This was when we were playing ABA, and we won the national championship beating Brett Brown's Bulleen in the semi-finals in Melbourne. And then we played Ballarat, which had Eric Cooks and Eric Hayes playing for them, and we won. And in our team was a very good team. We had Mark Ridlin, obviously just finished with the Kings and came down. We had Dom Bickett. We had Graham Davis, Bobby Crow, and Jerry Everett from Newcastle, right? And I was the rookie of that team. And it was a really good team. And I remember Dom Bickett never could understand how we never had water at training. Like, he would philosophy with this with Cliff Martin. And I remember one time that Cliffy Martin, and God bless him in his American accent, he said, and Dom was like, Cliff, and it was at the end of training, we were having fun, and he's like, Cliff, there is nothing in the world that you can tell me explains how you cannot allow a team to have water during training. And Cliffy says, man, when I was in college, we were never allowed water, and we went 30-2 in a season. And Donnie came back within a split second and said, and I bet you if you had water, you would have gone 32-0. It was phenomenal.
I like that.
We all just fell over and lost it.
Yep.
But getting back to what it was, it is right. When you give up offensive board, if you give 16 offensive boards, even if they make half of those, that's 16 points.
Yep.
And you're saying it was probably 32, so you're not...
Oh, no, and there were some drives and things. I mean, it had 32 points inside the
key. Yeah, but okay, maybe it's 26, whatever it is. Yeah. You've given up too much and you're not going to win games.
Purple. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Wanted to ask, we'll go and we stay on the NBL here a little bit. So, the WNBL. I feel that this is going to go three, but I do still stay with the Lightning, with the Flyers and Canberra getting through. Do you see any changes there?
No, on what we've seen in the first game, you'd have to say that. But, you'd have to go with that. But,
the last thing I want to add is we've spoken a lot about this in the NBL as well, how a lot of teams are playing so many players throughout the game. Now, I look at the Flyers. They had their starting five, the least person in that starting five, played 32 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yep. They've been like that all season. Actually, if you examine... the four teams that are in the finals, Canberra doesn't go very deep. Adelaide doesn't go very deep. Southside doesn't go very deep. Melbourne can.
Yes.
Because half of Melbourne's
players
bench.
They played. But I like that.
Yeah.
You know, 40 minutes, these girls are at peak condition. Yes. They can do this. And I like the fact, and that showed in that game, I thought the Flyers just, you know, those players felt comfortable and they did what they had to do.
Yeah. Hey, let's not play 40 minutes in a social game. It's no big deal.
Yeah, but, mate,
it's not that hard.
The WNBL, you've got to get over half court, dude.
Come on. Every time?
My question is, are you on the defensive end or the offensive end?
Defensive, jeez. There's no point in going down there and shooting air, because the other boys can do that.
Kick it, buddy. Kick it. You'll have more luck. Mate, what's your highlight for the WNBL, for the NBL?
Highlight from the NBL was Chris Goulding. Chris Goulding stepped up when they needed to beat Cairns. He had 23 points. When they needed to beat Southeast Melbourne, he had 28 points. We said this on the program, on the podcast, ages ago. I think you said it, I said it, we both said it. If Melbourne is to do any damage in the postseason, it has to go through Chris Goulding. You look at 2 years ago when they won the championship, the Larry Sengstock medalist, MVP of the championship series, was Chris Goulding.
Okay, it's not Melo Trimble. Don't put this on me. You did it. You were the one, and I've got to give you credit for that. You were the one that turned around and said, as soon as Melo Trimble starts realizing that Chris Goulding is the leader of this team and it starts going through him, when you realize that, you'll make the playoffs. And they did on the weekend. You're right. You're 100% correct.
The thing about that, though, is I don't think that Melo has realized. I think Dean Vickerman realized.
Yeah, probably.
And bringing
Melo
off the bench allows Chris to get into a rhythm and get going early. And then, you know, when Melo comes in, then Melo's a bonus. It's not like Chris hasn't handled the ball for half of the first quarter and he sits down going, well, you know, I can't contribute here. So they've got it right. But going through Chris was big. That was a big last round. So I'm very curious as to what your highlight might be.
My highlight is that last round and the teams that had to get it done. And you can go through literally every game bar one or two. Melbourne on Thursday night had to win against Cairns or they're out, and they did it. You then go to the Friday night, New Zealand had to beat the Phoenix or they're out, and they did it. Then you go, forget the Sydney Kings beating Illawarra, but then you go to Saturday night, Brisbane not only had to beat a team, they had to win by 34 points. And then they're playing the team that is in third spot that just got beaten the other night. They won by 36, unheard of, and they got it done. And that was brilliant. And then at the end, Perth beat Adelaide, big deal. Yep. We knew that was going to happen. Oh, I want to talk to you about that press conference after the Adelaide game, but we'll talk about that. And then the Phoenix played Melbourne at home, United. And again, United had to win, and that was out of everything that came down, we spoke points for and against, whatever, it was win or go home, and they won. So credit goes to all three teams that needed to win this weekend. They did it, but Melbourne United just got there at the end. It was a great weekend of games.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's a fantastic highlight, actually, Brad, because, yeah, they were under pressure to perform. They did. I thought the ones that struggled the most was New Zealand. I think they were very conscious of winning by a big margin. And, you know, you've got to take care of business first. The margin comes later. I'm with you.
I mean, you could probably look at it now and say, I don't know what they would have had to win by, but it would have been a hell of a lot to beat Melbourne, because they obviously needed to, you know, get their percentage. But I thought they could have won that game by 20, and they just let the Phoenix hang around. But I sort of understand what they were thinking as well, because they're just thinking, we just got to win. There's no way Brisbane's going to get 34 on Cairns. Right. So that's what, you know, that's not only that. Yeah. But what about that first quarter by Brisbane?
Oh, what was it? 39?
Yeah, 30 or 4, whatever it was. It was
39-15.
It was just unbelievable, and I could not believe it. And then,
that's what unbelievable means, Brad.
Yeah, I know. And then, well, Cairns won the second quarter, but then Brisbane just went bang, bang in the third and fourth. And I love, what about it? They were going at it hard and hard and hard, and then all of a sudden they get up 34 and they hold the ball. It was just like, are we watching an all-star game or something? That was brilliant.
Yep. Well, as long as we're talking league, NBL, let's stay with all the awards. What did you think? MVP Bryce Cotton? We've been saying that all year.
100%. Yep. Yeah. Bryce Cotton, loved it. Mike Kelly, 100% agree. The All-Star 5, it is a difficult one. Now, Jayson Tate, tick. Scotty Machago, yes. Bryce Cotton, yes. Lamar Patterson, yes. I thought Cam Oliver deserved to be in there. But I also understand Nick Kay's had a hell of a season. Yep. So I can sort of, I don't think it's an argument that Nick made it, but I wouldn't have also been upset if Cam Oliver made it, because I thought he was hard done by not being in there. But who do you knock out? Your thoughts on those?
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think you could have swapped Kay and Oliver, and then you would have really had a 1-2-3-4-5 rather than a 1-2-3-4-4 and then the other team having a 1-2-3-5-5. You know, I know it's sort of like they're saying inside players, outside players, whatever they need to, you know, to sleep well at night. But realistically, I wouldn't have been unhappy with Oliver there. But, you know, so be it. Nick Kay is underestimated and undervalued in a lot of places. And he is a very good, solid, consistent, reliable player. Doesn't go outside his skill set and produces week after week after week. So, can't argue with that too much.
He does. The All-NBL second team, for our listeners, Cam Oliver, all seven of them. Cam Oliver, Bogut, Scotty Hodgson, DJ Newbill, Casper Ware. Agree?
Yep. Okay, so let's keep going. Best LaMelo, defensive. We had DJ Newbill as best defensive
DJ
here.
So yeah, we've been calling that. Fans MVP, Scotty Machado, no argument there. Yep. Then you had most improved, Will Magnay, thank God. Yeah, agreed with that. Rookie of the year, LaMelo Ball, fine. What was interesting,
You're fine with that? Hang on, you're fine with that? Because don't they get enough? Get enough? They're going back to the States to get drafted and get millions of dollars. What else do they need?
Well, if the rule is that next stars can be in it, then yes, he should be the rookie of the year. I necessarily agree that the next star should be on there? Oh, look, it's a difficult one. I mean, Quatnoy got second with 44 votes. I know LaMelo got 49. And then ironically, RJ Hampton was third with like 23 votes. So great job for Quatnoy. Yes. Like, you know, really. And he was out for a bit of that season, but then again, so was Ball. So,
but Noy's going to be here, you know. We're going to be looking at Ball playing NBA games and making millions of dollars. You know, I don't know. I'd be tempted to revisit that in the future.
What would be cool though is LaMelo Ball winning Rookie of the Year in the NBL, then going on to ring Rookie of the Year in the NBA.
That would be good.
Yeah, Sixth Man of the Year. Whoa, that was interesting. Jason Kadee.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
You did or did not?
No, I did not.
No, I didn't either. Yeah, I mean, Daniel Kickett, I thought, was a show. I thought Will Magnay may have even been a show for that as well. But most
Kyle Adnam.
Yeah, Kyle did a great job as well. And you know what? I actually thought, what's the name from the Kings?
From the Kings.
Sean Bruce. Yeah. Sean Bruce.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, okay. Like,
maybe. Enough. Yeah, so the referee of the year, Vaughan Mabry, presented by Replay Centre, I mean Eurocar. So,
Vaughan. Yep.
And Game Time by Kmart MVP award went to Dane Penaud. And I don't know if you were listening, but Matty Russell, who was commentator, MC of the night. And he said, and Dane was up here last year getting an award, but this one's like the real one or something like that. So I thought that was a beauty. No one really heard it, but I loved it.
Bogey should have gone up and got and picked it up for him, Andrew Bogue.
But I thought that was great. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was an hour. It was quick. It was done. You know, it's not going to like, you know, I can't stand watching all these awards. Like, I don't watch the Brownlow. That thing takes 6 years. You know what I mean? I just don't watch them.
Yeah.
I like the fact, you know, like I don't want to go through every round and everything. I like the fact in, sharp, quick, done, bang, get out. And I like that.
Yeah, a bit like us today.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Well, let's stay on the NBL now. So we're going to talk playoffs. Obviously some ripper series is coming up. There is now a 1 week break for Boomers, and they play, and then it comes into the semi-final. So it's been set up. So Friday week, February 28th, Perth play at home against Cairns. On the Saturday, Sydney play against Melbourne. Then on the Sunday, Cairns play against Perth. That's a lot of travel for these teams.
I was thinking the same thing. I think that is very tough on both of them. You want them to be able to put their best foot forward.
Well, it's tougher on Cairns. Because they've got to go to Perth. But the only difference is if I'm Cairns, I'd be going in there on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, right? You're not going in on a Thursday. Yeah. So you give yourself time, acclimatise. Because the other thing is, you know, that starts at 9:30. When I say that's Australian Eastern Standard Daylight Time, which is obviously 6:30 Perth. But for someone like Cairns, they're an hour behind. So it's starting 8:30. That means, you know, your second half is getting 9:30, 10:30. That's late for them. So you want to get in there and acclimatise as best as you can.
I'm sure they're going to.
And then they play. And then on the Monday would be Melbourne versus Sydney. So let's start Perth versus Cairns. Can Cairns go in there and cause an upset?
Yes, they can, because no one's expecting them to. But the thing that bothers me, though, is that how much momentum did they lose by dropping those two games by a total of 52 points? That's a lot of points to get outscored by in your last two games. Now, I know that they put the cue in the rack. I get that. And I know they've got a week while the Boomers nonsense goes on to sort of pull it all back together. But I'm just concerned about the momentum loss that they've had as a consequence of the last round. I can see them winning that series, but I don't see it. I can, because I've seen them beat Perth before. But going into the jungle and winning, and then 2 days later, as you say, 2 days later, or actually less, winning back in Cairns after basically travelling, playing Friday, travelling Saturday, playing Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be an all-day travel. Look, I agree it'll be interesting to see how they come out of that game. I'm wondering if the fact that they won all these awards might have helped a little.
Yeah. Newbold, Mike Kelly. Yep. Machado, fans MVP, All-Star Fives and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And, you know, rather than going home. Yeah. So they've gone down, won their awards, had a good night, whatever. Okay, let's go home, put that in the back pocket. We lost, we move on and let's go. So time will tell. I just can't see them beating Perth in Perth in a playoff game. But look, I could be wrong. I think it will go three, but it's going to be real tough on that loser of that first game. That's going to, like, if Cairns can steal that game, that is so tough for Perth. Less than 48 hours, like you said, to go to Cairns and win that. So a lot's riding on that first game. Sydney Kings versus Melbourne United. Let's be honest. 3 weeks ago, we're saying Melbourne's done, right?
Yeah.
Unless they go through Golding, like you said, right?
Yep.
Have Melbourne done enough to beat the Sydney Kings in a three-game series?
I don't think so.
I'm with you.
I think they can get one. I think they can make it a series. And I'd be surprised if they got swept because of the way they're traveling. But David Barlow has had one of the worst seasons I've seen from a starter on a good team. He's been terrible. Last two games, he's been outstanding. So it's quite amazing to me. So I'm not sure what you're going to get from him now. Are we going to get what we've seen?
Well, I coached this kid. I've coached him, right? And I had him when he was a rookie at the Sydney Kings because he came into Sydney Kings at a very young age. I was assistant coach, and then I was the ABA coach. So the one under, it was the Sydney Comets, but it was the Kings youth team. So I coached him for three seasons. There is nothing more he want in life than basketball. That was his life. And to see a guy play as long as he has and now knocking down shots, I'm not surprised. The guy is the biggest gym junkie I've ever seen in my life. Mm. He works on his body, on his game. He's always stretching. He's always preparing himself. So I'm not surprised when I see these things happen with him. But, geez, he shot unbelievable. His biggest issue that's always been his biggest issue is he gets easy, cheap fouls.
Yep.
And that hurt him on the other night, but luckily it didn't cause a problem. It will against Sydney. They need him.
Mm. Yeah. So look, I can see that going three, but I cannot see Melbourne winning that series. I think it's from what we're saying, we're looking at a Sydney Perth, which is obvious. I think everybody would be thinking that. So I hope we're wrong. I really hope we're wrong. I'd love to see Cairns knock Perth out, and I'd love to see Melbourne knock Sydney out. Wouldn't that be something?
It's funny, isn't it? Because let's be honest, Casper Ware has not had the greatest season we've seen of him. And I'm like, he's in the all-team, second team or whatever, and he deserves it. But, I mean, you'd agree that it hasn't been his phenomenal year like we've seen him. But now he's playing Melbourne. Mm. And he has been outstanding against something, averaging like 30 or something against this team. So this is going to, like, oh, put the hatches down. This thing's going to go off, and I cannot wait for Saturday, the 29th of February, to see that game. I'll bounce off the Boomers. Anything for them? They're going to win this easy? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, look, I've got a nasty coming up on that. My thoughts are that when I look at who New Zealand are selecting from, and they've got players like Ruben Tarangi, Dion Prewster, Finn Delaney, Rob Lowe, Mika Vekona, Jordan Nagatai putting their hands up, I think they're going to take a bit of beating from what I see of our team. Hong Kong, well, I think we could probably send an under-20 team that would beat Hong Kong, so I'm not too concerned about that.
You could just stay on the defensive end there and not even have to get over half court.
Yes. I should have nominated for this team.
By the way, I did nominate you, but you didn't make it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, well, I want to just put a couple little things here. Will Magnay, what a season he had, but I also want to say Abercrombie. He had a 50-40-90 season, buddy.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's Daniel Kickett territory, isn't it?
It is. And no one, like Daniel Kickett, everyone's like, wow, that's Abercrombie, man. He's an outside player.
Mm.
And he's getting 50-40-90. So for our seven listeners, or up to eight, buddy, whatever it is.
Cut it out.
Yeah. 50%.
Thousands.
50 with a zero at the front. 50-40-90 for our listeners means 50% from the field goal, 40% from the three-point line, and 90% from the free throw line. That is an outstanding season for Thomas Abercrombie. He was phenomenal this year. And I also know Finn Delaney re-signed with him, so I thought that's a great signing. They're getting in early.
Yep. That's Finn took the step. And I've been waiting for him to do this for a couple of years. I've said that on the podcast before too. I've been waiting for him to step up into that next tier, you know, where Abercrombie's been for a long time. And Delaney's been just below that, a bit like a Todd Blanchfield and some of these other guys that you're sort of waiting, Cam Glidden. You're waiting to see them do the damage they can do 1 week. You're waiting to see that every week. And when you do, you know, they've arrived. Well, Delaney's made that step, and it's fantastic.
Well, it's been a beautiful week of the NBL.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
All right, give us your nasty. Come on, buddy, let me know.
Okay. Look, I'm really annoyed. I'm very, very annoyed at the moment because I think FIBA, I don't know what the hell FIBA's doing. I don't know what the hell Basketball Australia is doing. This is an Olympic year, okay? What we want to see is our Boomers and our Opals performing at the Olympics in Tokyo. That's the next big international thing. What the hell is FIBA doing rolling out qualifying games for the freaking Asia Cup against New Zealand and Hong Kong? Who the hell gives us a damn about it, right? It's just nonsensical to me. So what the hell is FIBA thinking? Shut the hell up and let's focus on the Olympics. This game on Thursday and Sunday, these games against New Zealand and Hong Kong for the Boomers are a nonsense to me. Then let's go to Basketball Australia. Here's another basketball body that doesn't know what the hell it's doing. What the hell is Will Weaver doing coaching this team? Seriously now. Seriously. You know, Andre Lemanis would be better coaching this team if we're going to be serious about it, for the connection, or a Trevor Gleeson, or a Rob Beveridge, anybody. Well, Weaver should be concentrating on the Sydney Kings winning a championship. That's where his priority should be right now. Who picked this team? Who are the freaking selectors that picked five guys from Illawarra? That's a team that won five games this year. I understand we're selecting from the teams that didn't make the finals. I understand that. But, you know, we've picked a team that I look at it and go, how come nobody in the mainstream media is looking at this team and saying, what the hell is going on? Where is Daniel Johnson? Where is Anthony Drimmick? Where is Ben Magin? These guys should have been among the first guys selected. And if they said they were unavailable and they're not injured, or they're not picking up a contract overseas the way, say, a Harry Froling is, then they should, that's it. You either play for Australia when Australia needs you, or get the hell out, you're finished, you're done. So if those guys were unavailable, I'd never pick them again. I don't think they were unavailable. I think we've just picked a nonsensical team. I mean, all due respect to Daniel Greeter, Angus Glover, Sam Froling, Sunday Dech had a great year. Todd Blanchfield, he's a regular. Now, Jason Kadeed, Cam Glidden, Sobey, Hodgson, no problem. Adnan Pinot and this Josh Giddey kid. Okay, let's have a look at him. But honestly, this is not a good team. And this is a lousy time. This is a lousy time to be playing Asia Cup qualifiers. Who cares? Let's get on with the Olympics. That's my knowledge is nasty.
Wow. That's hard for me to argue. That was brilliant. Where does it come from? Who makes that decision?
Freaking FIBA does.
Yeah.
FIBA does. And then we've got to pick a team at a time. You know, at a time when we've got great finals going on, the WNBL's rolling, the NBL's rolling. You know, who needs this freaking FIBA window for some nonsensical game against Hong Kong? Goodness gracious.
Oh, I love it when you can hang.
Have you got a rattler? Because I want to go.
No, lie down now. Do you need a respirator? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Uh-oh, Rosen's rattler.
All right, my rattler is FIBA. No, I'm joking. My rattler is Will Magnay re-signing with the Brisbane Bullets for 2 seasons. That is amazing, and I love it. The fact that this kid, and I call him a kid because he's a 21-year-old, is agreeing to a new contract with the club, says massive positive for Brisbane, because every club would have gone after him if he was heavy. And he just said, and I read it today, I'm really happy to get the deal done. I'm excited where this club is headed in the future, and I really want to play a part of it. Massive news for Brisbane. You are getting an absolute superstar signing for 2 years.
Yeah, okay, don't get carried away. They're getting a superstar in the making. He's a work in progress. You know, we get a little bit ahead of ourselves. This kid is going to be a superstar. I'm not disputing that, Brad, but he's not there yet. A superstar is someone who comes out and gets the job done week in, week out. Bryce Cotton is a superstar. Scotty Machado is a superstar. You cannot put him in that category at this point. He will be a superstar. I'm thrilled that he signed for 2 years, and I'm pretty sure they'll at least get 1 year out of him.
Yeah. Oh, look, he'll dominate next year. I say it again. Yeah. He will. Yes. I have no doubt he will dominate next year. I hear what you're saying, and I know there was a lot of talk about him going to the NBA. I didn't think he was ready yet, but there will be a time that he was. But then there was all this talk about him going, like the Golden State Warriors had signed him for a 10-day contract, but then it wasn't a sign for a contract. So did you have the mail on that one?
I just think sometimes you just, instead of just speculating and pontificating and running with half the information, sometimes it would just pay for somebody in the media to contact Will Magnay. Just say, hey, Will, what's going on? And then Will will tell you, you know. And that, I don't think he's got anything. At the time, people were saying he had a 10-day contract or whatever. I don't think he did. I think people were just running with some fast facts. But
well, it was, I think, great,
if he gets an opportunity, if he gets an opportunity, he's got to take it. He cannot do what Simon Dwight did, remember, when he got an NBA offer and he said, I'm not ready. And you know what
was
the NBA
that
said?
Charlotte?
Wasn't that Charlotte? I think it was. Yeah. And they just shut the door and said, if you're not ready, that's fine. See you later. He should have gone.
His agent, Grant Cadet, who was my agent then too. Now, I mean, I wasn't privy to any conversation, but I remember all of that happening. I didn't really speak to Grant about it because, you know.
Didn't you have an NBA offer on the table? Didn't you have an NBA offer? Didn't they want to upgrade?
You mean the coffee shop down the road, the NBA coffee shop? They offered me a contract. They said, Brad, you come in, pay for coffee weekly, and I'll give it to you.
No, I'm going with the gorilla mascot at Phoenix. You would have been great. Seriously.
Apparently, I am NBA, nothing but arrogant. That's what my wife tells me.
Oh, wow. Gee, she's hard. She's hard. I mean, she's right, but she's hard. All right. Let's get out of here. People want to go and do their, you know, do other stuff. They don't want to listen to us anymore.
Exactly. Let me finish this quickly. BOTINAGY, bodynodge.com. Great articles as usual. Tell me what's happened this week.
Well, I'm actually probably going to elaborate on what I just said about the Asia Cup, because I just think playing qualifying games now ahead of the Olympics for an Asia Cup is, you know, is crazy. And that sort of got up my nose a little bit.
Well, you heard it here, folks. The WNBL finals started brilliant. There's more to come. The NBL finals are 2 weeks away. Brad and Boddy are all over it. We'll be back next week. Of course, everyone, we thank all 19 of you for listening. Subscribe, like, review. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And not to mention, BOTINAGY, bodynodge.com. The greatest writer in the world.
Look, let's just get out of here. See you, everybody.
See you next week.